So, John and Mark, thank you so much for joining me. It's a pleasure to have you both.
Thank you very much for on your podcast.
We're excited to be here.
Thank you.
It's going worldwide, John.
Yes.
Worldwide. Well, we love talking tech. At least I love talking tech. So this is great.
Awesome. Well, it's good to have you both. So my name's Drew and this is Dan.
Yeah, I'm Dan, one of Drew's colleagues.
And I've got the pleasure in speaking with John and Mark Cronin, a father and son team that have created John's Crazy Socks. It's a social enterprise and with a mission to spread happiness. They bootstrapped their business into the world's largest sock store. John not only is a business owner, but he has Down syndrome. Every day, John and Mark show people what people can do with differing abilities. It's amazing. So, I look at this and it just brings a smile. I mean, it's so encouraging. And to see that you've nearly raised $700,000 for your charity partners is even better. Amazing.
We're very fortunate to get to do what we do. Right?
Yes, Dad.
Get up there every day. Things to do.
Yes.
Things that matter.
Absolutely.
Right.
It's amazing. Amazing. I'm going to start off with a quick question. Where did the idea for John's Crazy Socks come around?
Well, it was born to a degree out of necessity. Though in many ways, I guess it was always in you, huh, buddy?
Yeah.
You go back to the fall of 2016. We'll tell the full story.
Yeah, Dad.
Yeah. So the story starts in a small log cabin in the woods.
No.
It's not. On suburban Long Island outside New York City in a town called Huntington. And where were you?
I was at Huntington High School. I could be my last in school.
Now, you already mentioned that John had Down syndrome.
Yeah.
So John's in his last year of school, trying to figure out, like everybody else, what am I going to do after I leave school? And what were you looking at?
I looked at job, program, and school. I can't find a crap job I don't like.
Couldn't see anything he liked. And this is an unfortunate reality across the world. There just aren't enough opportunities for people with differing ability. But John here, John is a natural entrepreneur.
Yeah, I am.
You didn't see your job. You wanted what you say.
I said, I want to create one. I want to make one.
So, and what'd you tell me?
I told my dad, I want to build for him. I want to have a nice father's son build together.
You know, so my son, I'm a lucky man.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I got three sons. And this is one I could work with.
Yeah,
so, okay, we're going to go into business. Now, you guys work with entrepreneurs all the time.
Yeah.
You know, they all have a lot of ideas. They're not all necessarily good ideas. John had a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
Right? What was one of them?
Well, there was a food truck. I have an idea from the movie called Chef. I was an actor named John Favreau. It's a neat movie about a father and son buying a food truck.
Now, everybody loves a food truck. And we're thinking, what could we make and where would we put it? But we ran into a problem.
We can't cook.
Yeah, we can't cook. So, but then, right before the U.S. Thanksgiving, right in late November, John had his eureka moment.
Yes, he did. I want to sell crazy socks. Why socks? It's fun. It's colorful. It's creative. It's always let me be me. I want crazy socks my whole life.
We used to drive around looking for these socks. So we figured this. If he loved them that much, surely other people would too. And we went the lean startup route. We didn't do a lot of planning. We said, let's get something up and running. And customers will let us know.
Yes.
So you already had the name.
I got a name. I told a website, come out here.
He had the idea to sell online. So we built a simple website on the Shopify platform. They make it very easy to get started. Got a little bit of inventory. The only marketing we did was to set up a Facebook page, and I would take out my cell phone, and we made videos. And who do you think was in those videos?
I am. I talk about socks. is stock, stock, and more socks.
And we opened mid-December of 2016, not sure of what to expect. We didn't know what we'd get. But that very first day, we got what felt like a flood of orders. We got 42 orders. And most of them were local, which made sense, right? He's in the high school. We lived in Huntington. Yeah. We had temporary office space there. So we decided to deliver them, and personally deliver them to home deliveries. We got these red boxes. We put the socks in the box. And then we said, it needs something else. What else did you put in?
I put candy over the kisses and a chicken note I wrote.
No, candy and a thank you note. We loaded up the car and drove around, and you knocked on doors delivering socks.
Yeah, they did.
How'd the customers respond?
A customer responded, they love the socks. I don't want to take a picture with me and the customer and their socks and show them on social media. Where did I get that spread?
We had customers ordering again just to get John to come back to their door. The whole family's waiting. They had hot chocolate for him and stuff, right? And it was some funny moments. Because it's just the two of us. So we'd be out after 10 o'clock at night, and John's knocking on doors. Just John with your socks.
That's true.
No. You know? But by the end of that month, really 2 weeks, we had shipped 452 orders, and we knew we had something. We knew we could grow the business. We didn't know how fast. We didn't know how big. But we knew that we could do this. Today, across a year, we'll have as many as 4,000 different socks, which means John here owns the world's largest sock.
Yes, store. I am.
We've been able to create 34 jobs. 22 of those are held by people with differing abilities. We've shipped, 450,000 packages to 88 countries. And you mentioned before, our giving back program has raised over $700,000 for our charity partners. As you like to say,
I should get started.
Just getting started. So that's that's kind of the tale of John's crazy socks. If I get a banjo, we'll make a country song out of it.
Awesome. That is incredible. Absolutely incredible. And you both are just an absolute inspiration, and I'm sure everyone watching this is going to be touched by your guys' story. So going through the idea and how it's come about, how did you guys scale the business from just you two going door to door delivering socks to what it is today?
Some of it evolves because of our sheer brilliance, but much of it also happens with luck of being in the right place at the right time, and then being able to take advantage of some of that. So we started just with the two of us. We would carefully add people. But right away in 2017, our first full year, in March, we were the beneficiaries of a viral experience. And watch what you ask for. You may get it, because it almost put us out of business. We went from doing 40 orders a day to over 1,000 orders a day. It was a wild experience. And it was part of the ups and downs that we would have. Yeah. Because we've also benefited from a lot of media coverage. And the difference between the two, a media appointment or interview, you get a spike. Hmm. The viral event is more like a tsunami. It just keeps coming. But then again, by the summer of 2017, we were learning nobody buys socks in the summer. So, there was nothing. It was awful. We hate the summer. And then it came back at the holidays. And it turns out, now we see the pattern. Now we're in our eighth year. We do 50% of our business in the last 2 months of the year. Which can be a tough way to do business. But you have to know who you are. You mentioned it earlier. You got to know your purpose. What Simon Sinek will call your why. You have to know what you're about. You have to know what your values are. I was thinking, in fact, I preparing a post for LinkedIn. So a week or so ago, I appeared on a panel about pricing. But it fairly quickly evolved into a discussion of brand, because everything you do comes down to who you are, right? And that shapes your pricing and your resource allocation and your hiring and your marketing and your choice of advertising channels. So part of it, you got to know who you are. You need a good team. You need the right people. You know, there's that line, you need the right people on the bus, and then you got to get them in the right seats. And culture matters more than skills. You got to get people that are excited to want to be here. And you got to leverage your technology. You know, just starting off, if there's only two of us, and you got to get a lot done, you better be using technology in a smart way. You know, let the machines do what the machines can do to free up us humans. And that's true today. We're not a very large organization. And so you have to extend our abilities by using technology.
Absolutely. And that brings me on nicely to the next question that I was going to ask is, how did tech aid you in getting to where you are now?
Well, lots of ways, right? I'll come back, and it's such a simple idea. Let's get the machines to do what the machines can do, so that us humans can free up to do what only we can do. Here's an example of something we used early on, very important to us, was we needed the right email system. So we were an early adapter of a platform called Klaviyo, which is now, I think, the dominant one in the Shopify universe. Mm-hmm. What did that allow us to do? Well, we're building relationships with customers. We're not chasing transactions. That gave us an easy way to communicate with our customers via email, to track, you know, what they're doing. If you don't open our emails, we stop sending them to you. We don't want to bother you. It allowed us to set up flows to tailor things for what you do and what you want, so we can get you the information that you value and not bother you with other crap. You know, we all get too much email. Well, it's their technology that allows us to do that and provides us with the data so that we have the feedback to know what adjustments we have to make. And then much of that will help free us up for the conversations we want to have with customers, literally conversations. I mean, John, every day we'll call some customers to talk to them. So that's one example. I know I'll give a shout out to a different podcast. There's a guy named Kurt Elster, and Kurt runs the Unofficial Shopify Podcast. And we've gotten to meet and know Kurt a bit. But when we were starting off, I would listen to that podcast, and it was like a beginning chef reading a cookbook. If he said, do this, we did that. But much of that, you know, depends on the technology you want to use. So, you know, here's another example. We love engaging with our customers. So we needed the right platform to track our communications with customers. And we were early adopters of something, of a platform called Gorgias. I laugh because we were so early that when you would chat with the question, you would chat with the CEO. Well, I think they're on their, you know, round C of financing now in their $100 million company. So, you know, like in that Indiana Jones movie, we chose wisely. So what do you do with that? Well, we'll get hundreds of emails coming in from customers. So, but here's what some of them might be. John just had his birthday last weekend. So we did a birthday celebration, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to bounce a little bit here. What's our mission?
Spread happiness.
Spread and happiness. And what do you say the keys to happiness?
Gratitude for others.
Gratitude and do for others. So that got to be manifest in everything we do. So for John's birthday, all we want to do is give stuff away. We gave discounts. We put extra prizes in, you know, surprise gifts in every order that went out. We had a contest of, if you ordered on his birthday, we put a golden sock in one of the packages and you won this giant package. It was like a hobbit, right? He gives things out on his birthday. Well, when people heard it's John's birthday, we got thousands of emails saying, happy birthday, John. Well, you want to respond to that. But what you want to do is, if they're just saying happy birthday, John, well, let's respond. And so we can automate that, as opposed to somebody where there's something else that they're adding. And now you want to personalize that, either the response or literally have John get on the phone or send somebody a video. So you got to have the right platform to do that. Am I making sense here?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so you got to build that stack. You got to be careful about it, because you could wind up with all sorts of things. And, you know, so we do a review, a quarterly review, where we go down every app that we've added, every tool we've added, to ask, you know, is this helping us? Because what can happen is you got these things and you're looking at each other, well, what the hell is that? Oh, why we got that? And if it's attached to your website, it's going to slow you down. And you don't want that. So, you know, those are some examples. Social media. Social media is very important to us. We're building a community. So you got to create a lot of content. We do that in-house. We don't want to outsource it. From time to time, we've tried that. And what happens, you might get something that looks good technically, but it doesn't have your voice. It's not genuine. And we're, let's just say, idiosyncratic. So you have to create this content, and we do it ourselves. But at the same time, you know, that's very demanding. And there's, you know, there's Stephanie, there's John, there's me. So the advent, particularly now with AI, of tools that allow us to edit and enhance our videos is really important. So we've been adding, you know, different technologies there, different apps that extend what we can do or help us do things better and faster.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. And I think, you know, the AI coming to fruition over the past sort of couple of years, and I can see, even for us as recruiters, it helps us massively day to day to make those tasks that, you know, were 5-10 minute tasks down to 30-second tasks. And it just makes your life so much easier. And it's, you know, the use of tech is helping all of us in just our day to day lives.
Yeah, and you got to get buy-in. So I'll use this example. We like sending Microsoft as much money as we can. I'm worried that Satya Nadella won't have a big enough house, so, you know, we'll send that money. So we adapted Teams. We adapted it, now this is 4 or 5 years ago, at the same time our partners, we work with strategic partners, that they were adapting. So here's what we did. We spoke about it, explained why we wanted to do it, showed some videos, and gave people access to learn a bit. I created some instructional videos particular to us. And then we went forward. But I also played the big gorilla. If you sent me email, I sent it back. I didn't want email. You could chat or you could put it in a Teams group. We got buy-in, but it was a little messy. So then we called the timeout. We got together and we reorganized, if you're familiar with Teams, the teams and the channels. And we've gone forward. And now people couldn't imagine working without it. And it's been great help for us. Our partners, they're still using email. They don't really use Teams at all, except to chat and video channels. I guess that's a plus. But why? Because they didn't really buy in. They didn't explain. They didn't make use of it. And so it's limiting. If you want to use the technology, you got to, you know, at the same time, had one of our colleagues, happens to be your mother. At, you know, one point I'm talking about some of the new AI tools and she's like, hey, I don't really get all this AI. I don't want to do that. And I'm like, you know, oh, sweetheart, oh, love of my life. That's kind of like saying this internet thing's going to be just a fad. I don't really have to know what's going on. It's wonderful working with family.
Yeah. I can only imagine. Brilliant. Well, look, what's so that's, you know, it covered how text helped you, and clearly you guys are incredibly up to date with the tech that you're using and are putting forward as well. So what is the vision for you guys going forward? What's the next year, 5 years looking like for John's Crazy Socks? Or have you not thought that far ahead?
Be careful of people with visions. So we want to do more. We want to reach more people, create more jobs, and show more people, look what folks with differing abilities can do. So right now we sell direct to consumer through our website. That's always a challenge. You know, we've had big swings and ups and downs. That's a challenge to keep going. And we're, you know, a little guy. We're not VC backed. We don't have lots of financing. We sell directly to other businesses, and that's exciting. That's growing a lot. And we keep coming up with new products and services. Like, you know, two that people really like a lot is, we create these new employee or new customer packages. So, you know, you're the local, here's an example, HVAC company, and somebody contracts with you to put air conditioning in or do something. They send us their contact information, and we send out a package that has custom socks in it and some information and stuff. And they love it, and their customers love it. We have a new member kit for membership organizations. So Chamber of Commerce, you sign up a new member, we send you this package. And we make custom socks, and that's growing. So there's and a lot of things we're doing for other organizations. We've now entered the retail channel, the wholesale channel, selling into retail stores. Am I bothering you there, buddy?
No,
you're okay. You take a nap?
No, don't nap.
Not in the midst of the podcast.
No, not.
I'm sorry. We were up early this morning, and it's going to be a late night. We're speaking at a local university at their entrepreneur program this afternoon to undergraduates, and then this evening to their graduate program. So there's that. We're also, we do our own fulfillment. So we run a pick and pack warehouse, and quite frankly, we do a great job. I mean, that I love what our guys do. So now we're going to start selling that service to others and assembly service to others. So we have other things of growing our reach with some consulting services. We're talking to a filmmaker who's made a documentary about us, about making a documentary about entrepreneurs with differing abilities. So we're always cooking up new things.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys don't have enough hours in the day. Honestly, it does. And I think my job's hard.
Look how fortunate we are to get to do what we do. We get to get on your podcast and talk to you. How great is this?
Brilliant. It's John, it's interesting to listen in and sort of really gain an understanding on you both and the big driver. I love the mission, right? Spreading happiness. I mean, what a basic but empowering mission. I think that's so cool. And looking, obviously, you're not VC backed. You're doing sort of the wholesale side as well, custom socks, exactly like you said. You know, there's so many strings to your bow as a company. tech in sort of aiding that has obviously played a big part. And obviously in the world that we live in at the moment, everything's on the touch of a phone and an iPad and a computer, which is great. How is tech sort of this year, for example, going to play a part more than ever? Is there anything that you've got sort of major coming up? Is it easier for you to run competitions or, you know, raffles or like you said, with John's birthday last weekend? Belated happy birthday, John, by the way, I must say.
happy birthday.
Well, I've already hit on some. There's a couple of moves that we're making. We're pulling back in-house things that we had outsourced so that we can do ourselves. But that puts a premium on having the right tools to make sure we can do that ourselves. We're also doing something that's a little counter to kind of the tech initiative. People are coming back into the office. So like I say, we're a small team and we want to take care of people. I don't want to make somebody drive 45 minutes to commute to the office. That's awful. But what we have found is you might be more productive working at home because you could be more focused. But we lose some of the synergy when we're not together. Some of the creative synergy and some things that happen more when I bump into you. Oh, I wanted to tell you this. So we had moved. We always had some people, you know, our warehouse people are here. We always had some people that opted to come to the office. And then we had people, including myself, working more remotely. And we're just going to tilt that some so that we're in the office together more.
Nice.
Because in the end, you still got that human focus.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. No, that's cool. We've seen that across the board, really. You know, in the UK and the US, offices seem to be a thing of the past, which are now being brought back into the future. That collaboration in person is needed. And a lot of businesses are doing that.
Well, you have to be careful to not just do it arbitrarily. You know, I read one article, somebody hypothesizing that, yeah, executives like to have everybody in the office, you know, at larger companies, because they like to look out and see all those people that work for them. Well, that's a stupid reason to do it. you know, or if you're still in that mode where I don't trust people. So you have to have, this comes back to knowing who you are. And that'll make itself manifest in everything you do. You have to know who you are and how you think about your colleagues. So, language matters. I've got colleagues. I don't have employees. So we're open and talking about what are the trade-offs and get all that input so that people feel they have some autonomy and they understand why decisions are made.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree. I think that's really quite poignant, to be honest. And I guess, you know, finishing up, we're sort of half an hour in, which is great. It's been a pleasure. A big question that I think would be the most useful is tips for sort of aspiring founders or people that are looking maybe to start up their own thing. What sort of some tips and tricks from you guys? You've been there, you've done it, and you're doing it. So what's
rather successfully, should we add?
Yeah, we should add.
They wanted the secret handshake. Look, it'll sound very simple. Just do it. Don't wait for the right time. Don't wait for everything to be perfect. Just go and take action. If you want to be like us and, you know, start, you know, bootstrap a business, or you start yourself and you're going to grow. If you overthink it, you are sunk. If somebody sits down with you and tells you everything you need to know to start that business, you'll never do it. It's too much. It's overwhelming. But if you just, okay, we're going to get started. Get something up and running and then keep figuring out as you go. But you got to, you know, I'm old. I'm 65 years old. I know plenty of people. They had ideas. They were going to do this. They were going to do that. And they never did. be like John. Let's just do this. Worst thing that happens, you fail. Okay, now you've learned the lesson. When you guys, you want to talk to me about John's crazy socks, you know, I could talk to you about Advoca Healthcare and other things I've run. Nobody wants to talk to me about new Gutenberg software. Boy, we put out some great software titles. Baseball for Windows 94. New York Times loved it. We lost every penny we had. But if I didn't do that, we wouldn't be doing this. You know, so just go. Be curious. You have to be confident enough to go. And if you're confident, you're also going to be humble. You're not going to be insulted when somebody tells you something. You're going to be willing to go get information and admit, I don't know. It's the insecure, the unconfident who are always showing you everything they know. Now relax. You don't know. You know, my eldest came to me a few years out of college, or as you guys might say, out of university. And he said, you know, Dad, once I accepted I was basically an idiot, life became much easier. Right? Because I didn't have to know everything. Now I can just learn. Now I can figure things out. You know, I was like, you're getting it, you know?
That's brilliant. Amazing. Well, look, I'll wrap it up there. I think, unless you've got any more questions.
No, I think, look, you guys have been absolutely incredible, and you are a genuine inspiration to all. So thank you so much.
You got advice for people?
Follow your heart, follow your dreams, work hard, so you can do.
Yeah.
Love it.
That's a bit of advice I would have for people is, you know, I get people, what would you say? You know, first thing I would do, I would kidnap John.
Thank
you. I would have John as my partner.
Both of you, I echo what Dan said. You know, you're an inspiration. It's incredible. It's a real privilege for us to be to take a bit of time out today and speak to you both. Thanks for doing what you do. I applaud it. And thanks so much for joining us. It's been a privilege.
Thank you for having us on. We appreciate it. This was a fun conversation.
Good. I'm glad. Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thank you.